Heavenly Father, we pray for the anointing of your Holy Spirit upon us. Open my lips and only your word would be spoken. Open our ears and only your word would be heard. Soften our hearts that we may understand your truth, turn to you, and be healed. This we ask in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I invite you to turn with me in our pew Bibles to Matthew chapter 23, beginning at verse 1. In the Red Pew Bible, this is page 1052. Page 1052. Matthew chapter 23, beginning at verse 1. And just to set the context a little bit, this is in the midst of a confrontation that Jesus is having with the scribes and the Pharisees, the Jewish leaders. And ultimately, it's about the authority of their teaching versus the teaching of God. And so Jesus is rebuking them for their hypocrisy and their disregard for the word of God. So we pick up Matthew chapter 23 and verse 1. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat, so do and observe whatever they tell you, but not the works they do. For they preach, but do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to move them with their finger. They do all their deeds to be seen by others, for they make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long. And they love the place of honor at feasts and the best seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces and being called rabbi by others. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher and you are all brothers. And call no man your father on earth, for you have one father who is in heaven. Neither be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Christ. The greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted." And this is the word of the Lord. And so I want to begin by going back again to what we had heard last week with Daryl Fenton with us. How important it is to understand the scriptures by looking at the context culturally and historically, which was first century Judaism. In order to hear God speak to us through the words of scripture, it is important for us to realize that most of scripture needs to be interpreted. There is some that's very plain, like, you know, love your neighbors and pray for those who persecute you. Those are pretty straightforward. But much of Scripture has to be understood because it is relevant only as we see the context again of the culture of that time and historically. And so it's something we have to work at. Many things in Scripture we can simply read and be meditative and get, you know, great things from it. But much of Scripture has to be interpreted. We have to work with it. We have to chew on it. We have to let it kind of mull over in our minds. And there's many resources now that are available to that. And so this is a time for us to try to better understand what God is saying to us by studying the scriptures and the word. And so I offer today kind of a methodology. It's not, you know, an exact science. But if we're trying to understand any particular passage, the first thing we do is we look at other scripture passages that address the same topic. In other words, if we want to understand what God says about baptism or baptisms, it's actually plural, we would look at all the places in Scripture that talk about baptism. And what was the, and that's what Daryl Fenton had done last week in his workshop on Saturday. Then we would look at how this passage fits in the context of the book in which it was written, and also even in the context of the chapter. In other words, what was just before this and what was just after it? What is the setting situationally that this text is given? And then we want to go back and try to understand what this teaching would have meant by the first hearers of it. Remember, this was written for people back in the first century. What would it have meant to them, particularly in their Jewish culture, because primarily this was written to the Jewish people. And so what I want to do is take a passage and kind of give an example of what that would look like if we go through this time, kind of Bible study. And what I'm going to pick is this one passage that is somewhat controversial, call no man your father on earth. Those of us who have I came from a Roman Catholic background, and we refer to the priest all the time as father, father this and father that. But we have a number of people here who've come to Christ the King, and they said, wait a minute, why are you allowing people to call you Father Don or Father O'Malley? Don't you know the Bible says, call no man father? Why are you allowing this? And of course, they're pulling this, you know, out of Scripture, and they're looking at this very passage and saying, look, what it's how clear it is, the Scripture's saying it. Why do you allow it? Well, I think we need to take a look at the study of it, look at the context, what are some of the other places in Scripture that talk about this, to better understand what is it that Jesus is really saying when he says, call no man your father on earth. Now, first of all, there are many places in Scripture where a man who raised a child is referred to as father. We do it in our own world today, right? We say, somebody, you know, we got fathers and we have mothers. And so this is one thing. Also, we need to realize that in the passages, in fact, the early church leaders referred to themselves as the father of children. And these are my children. We heard that in our reading from 1 John. John's referring to the people, my children. And he was like a father to them. And so we also see in Paul, in fact, very specifically in Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 14 and 15, Paul writes this. I do not write these things to make you ashamed, but to admonish you as my beloved children. For though you have countless guides in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For I became your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel. What an amazing statement. You might ask yourself, well, didn't Paul ever read Matthew or Mark or the God? Didn't Paul understand? Jesus said, don't call anyone your father. And now he's saying to these people in Corinth, he says, I am your father. I am your father. You have many guides, but you have only one father. What is the contrast here? That starts to tell us, okay, there's something more to this passage. Because we look at a passage, we look at the rest of Scripture, and we say, oh, wait a minute, there's something different here. There must be an explanation. So that's what we're looking for. Repeatedly, in John's letter and in Paul, he refers to people as his children and he as their father. So there must be something more to this passage. Well, next, we want to look at the biblical context of this passage itself in Matthew 23. And here we see that not only Jesus says, call no man your father, he also says, call no man rabbi, which means actually holy one or special one. Call no man teacher, and call no one instructor. Now, again, this is a little bit strange, but if we're going to be consistent, and this is where I have some concern with some people. They say, oh, call no one your father. And I say, well, what do you tell your kids when they go to school and they've got this person standing up in front of the class? You want to say, what is your teacher's name? Or, you know, is your teacher nice? But you would have to say, well, that person who stands up in front of class, are they nice and what's their name? But of course not. We say, well, what's your teacher's name? You know, what, tell us about your teacher. We go and we have, you know, things that we do. We have instructors. So clearly, Jesus must be talking about something else. And that's for us to try and discover. These were common titles used throughout the Scriptures and, in fact, throughout history. Well, then let's look at the wider context of this passage. And what we'll see is that Jesus was involved in a dispute with the scribes and the Pharisees, who were the leaders and the Pharisees at the time. And he was rebuking them for abusing their authority as religious leaders. As we heard in our reading today, he accused them of tie up heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on people's shoulders. So they had taken the original scriptures and they made up all these other laws and other rules to just bog people down. to the point that Jesus was repeatedly, you know, doing things about whether washing their hands exactly or not doing any work and violating the Sabbath by healing somebody on the Sabbath. There were so many laws that they're very technical about. And so this is what Jesus was confronting. And later on in this very chapter, again, we look at what was before this passage and what's after, what's the context of the passage. We see that following our reading today, Jesus goes on to really rebuke these scribes and Pharisees. He goes on to a number of called the woes. One of them, woe to you scribes and Pharisees, you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. So again, he's rebuking them for getting so technical and so legalistic about things, they've lost the whole message of God's love, which we heard again in the talk, the letter we heard from 1 John. And so this abuse or neglect of the word of God, this discount of the authority of God's word was a major issue in first century Judaism. And that's what Jesus was repeatedly having to confront. Elsewhere in Matthew, and that's always a good thing, if you're looking at what something means in a particular book, if there's another reference within that same book by the same author, that gives you real clues about what is trying to be communicated. Well, elsewhere in Matthew chapter 15, verses 3 through 9, we hear this from Jesus. He's again speaking to the religious leaders. He says, why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? That's the issue. For the sake of tradition, you've made void the word of God, you hypocrites. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Teaching as doctrine the commandments of men. We see that all over the church today. It was very prevalent in the time of Jesus. It was a major issue, and repeatedly we see examples where this is what Jesus was confronting with the leaders of the people, the Jewish leaders. And so this is the context of Jesus' message to them when he says, call no one father. Some would interpret that as calling spiritual father. I think what Jesus is talking about is theological father in terms of authority of the teaching. If we go back, which I did, and look at, again, the cultural context of what Jesus was dealing with there, we find that what the Jewish leaders were spending their time on was not the five books of Moses, the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, but what they were spending their time on were the commentaries about the Bible. That would be true for us today and say, well, what do you think about the Bible? Oh, I think the Bible is the word of God. Would you ever read the Bible? No, but I read a lot of books about the Bible. I read a lot of commentaries. It's like, yeah, but you've got to read the Bible. You've got to read, you know, the source, the original. And people, oh, no, it's too complicated for me, but I like to read about the Bible, but I don't like to read the Bible. That's the issue. In fact, there was a writing which Daryl Fenton had shown us last week called the Mishnah, which is basically a commentary. We have commentaries today on the scriptures. They had a commentary. It was called the Mishnah. It's about this thick on what we call today the Old Testament. And this Mishnah is what they spent their time on. In fact, there was a particular tractate there that, according to the source I read, they would spend every Sabbath afternoon reading through the Mishnah. And the most often prescribed and identified tractate, which is a part of it, was a tractate called The Ethics of the Fathers. The Ethics of the Fathers. What the Jewish leaders were doing at that point is they were saying, yeah, we know we've got the Word of God, but we've got all these rabbis and the fathers of the faith, and that's where we're reading, and that's where we're learning and saying, well, do this, don't do that. And Jesus is saying, you're missing the source. You're missing the source. So what he's really saying is don't put the authority of man's doctrine over the authority of God's holy word. That was the central issue. Now, in light of that, I think we can then explain and understand what Jesus is really talking about. When he says, don't call anyone your father or teacher, what he's saying is don't count these other things made up by man to be more value than that which is the word of God in the scriptures. So what is the application for us today? Well, I would say again, if there's some people who come and say, look, the Bible says don't call anyone father, therefore you shouldn't be doing that, I would have to say, well, now wait a minute, let's look at the context. I think anybody would agree that when they say, call no man your father, they'd say, well, I don't technically believe, I do believe the person who raised you can be called your father. So then what they're really saying is, call no man your spiritual father. I believe that's what they're really saying. I would just say within the context, what Jesus is really saying is, call no man your theological father. Don't give a priority to the teaching of any person over the teaching of Holy Scripture. So what does that mean for us? It means that each and every one of us has an obligation to be in the Scriptures ourselves, not depending on any other person to be telling us what is true. Now, I came out of the Roman Catholic Church. I was raised Roman Catholic, went to Catholic grammar school and all, and very specifically, we were told this is what you believe. In fact, we were told not to read the Scriptures because it was too confusing for us and we'd get it wrong, we wouldn't understand it. So we just depended on the church to tell us everything we needed to know. And boy, what an enlightenment it was for me at about the age of 27 when I discovered the Scriptures and I just had a hunger for them and I just couldn't get enough. And it's lasted for 40-some years. So I think there's an important point for us to say that all of us need to be in the Word of God and not depending on any one person, even if it's your priest or your pastor or some great, you know, theologian, you know, C.S. Lewis, and say, oh, I love all that. What God is going to say, where were you? Were you reading Scriptures and studying the Scriptures? Now, I'm just making a guess and looking at the people that we have in our church, about 150 people. My knowledge is that there's maybe, just roughly my guess, is maybe about a third of us are involved in some kind of regular Bible study. Now, I don't know how many of us. I hope it's much more that, you know, take the Bible and they read it and they meditate on it and just get ready, you know, strength from reading it. But really, to understand what it means, we have to get into a study of it. And there are tremendous resources that are available, both online and commentaries and concordances that help us to do these studies. Wouldn't it be wonderful, wouldn't it be amazing to have a church where every person in that church was involved in some kind of Bible study? Some kind of way of getting together with others and saying, oh, look what this says. Now, what do you think that means? Well, let me tell you what I think. Well, I read this commentary, and let me tell you what this is. I mean, yes, we look at those commentaries and things, but what is the Word of God saying to me and to you? Not what I hear somebody else saying. In the Scriptures, there was a very stark warning about the blind guides leading the blind. And you know what Jesus said? The blind guides lead the blind, they will both fall into the pit. You can't get up there and say, oh, but I heard this pastor and this priest saying, you know, what's it said? Remember what Jesus said? Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? What do you say my word says to you? That is the question before each and every one of us. And I just want to say, I believe in this time, the things are going on in the world, they're just crazy in the Middle East, with the European Union and the UK and all over the world, just tremendous stuff going on. Now is a time to gird up our minds, as Peter says, to get ready for the times that are coming. Because it's not, you know, when you get into a difficult situation, that's not the time to try to get in to say, well, I don't know how to pray. It's now we train ourselves into that so that when the time comes, and I'm telling you, it's coming, that we are going to need to better understand the Word of God and to be able to hear His voice directly to us, aided by others, yes, but not primarily dependent on others. What does God say to me through these Scriptures? And so whether it's online or commentaries or Bible studies, whatever it is, I believe our message today is we all need to be searching and studying the Word of God that we would know, what is He trying to say to us? What is He trying to say to our church in this world today? So I hope to leave you with that sense that, you know, we see something that says, oh, call no man, you know, your father on earth. Okay, well, what does that mean? What does that mean? It might sound like it's oh, this is so confusing. Let me say, you just get into it, and you know what? God Himself will guide you. We say, that sounds too complicated for me. Holy Spirit, please guide me in my Bible discussion and my sharing. On the back of the sermon outline today, I gave you some short things to do with, you know, prayer before Bible reading, some just guidelines about, you know, interpreting Holy Scripture. Again, this is not an exact science, but there are ways for us to look back and better understand what is God trying to say to me today for the things that are going on in my life. It is an amazing resource that each and every one of us needs, this direct communication between God through His Word. So again, please prayerfully consider this. If you're not involved in any kind of Bible discussion or Bible study, you will be so blessed. I hear people say it. They start, you know, just reading the Bible a little bit. They get into it. They go to a Bible study. And they're like, wow, how did I ever live my life without these jewels that I get through scriptures? Is every Bible study great? No. No, it's not. You're going to find. But you keep going and searching. You'll find the one that God wants for you. And so I just encourage you to prayerfully consider that. Call no man Father on earth. It's okay if people here are saying Father O'Malley, all right, or Father Don. Just something they see me as kind of, I mean, this is kind of like a family, right? And you look at the pastor as kind of like a parental figure. And that's okay. I want you to know that's okay. What's not okay is if you start to depend solely on me for your source of the voice of God to you. That's where you've crossed the line, and that's what Jesus is trying to say. Don't count on anybody to give you, to be your sole source of inspiration from the Holy Spirit. Okay? So, I hope it's okay. It's really strange. I mean, if people come and they'll say that, oh, how dare you, you know, allow them to do something that's so much against Scripture. And I'm like, do you understand what Jesus was saying there? Well, he says, don't call anyone Father. You know, it takes a while to explain it, you know. So if you hear somebody say that, maybe you've thought it yourself. Well, I wonder why Don allows that. This is why. If you have thoughts about it again, please let me know. Please let me know, because I'm very much open to people questioning things. Do you know there are people in this church who do not agree with everything that I say? Isn't that amazing? There are people in this church who don't agree with everything that I say.
No.
Yes, seriously. Yeah. I know, it's amazing. God has such a direct line for you. If we would open our hearts and our minds through His Word, and we will hear that and be blessed by it. My brothers and sisters, we need this. We need to get ready. Why? Because the kingdom of God is upon us. The kingdom of God is upon us. And as we understand God's word, the best is truly yet to come, because God really does love us more than we can imagine. Would someone please close us in a prayer?